Back in the late 1950s, early 1960s, you could turn on your TV set and you would find an actor by the name of George Reeves traveling faster than a speeding bullet, displaying more power than a locomotive, leaping tall buildings in a single bound. Yes, George Reeves was Superman. Defender of truth, justice, and the American way. Superman, at least the character, is still somewhat popular today, but not the George Reeves version of him. I think there's a significant reason why that's true, because not too many people are interested in truth and justice as being the American way any longer. I'm afraid that that has passed out of our societal norm. Case in point, this week's elections and all that preceded them. Let's deal with the issue of truth for just a moment or two in campaign advertising. Are our politicians interested in being elected by disseminating truth? You're not all laughing? I wish there was a law that said every claim made by a politician must be verifiable and must be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. For example, and I'm going to say a number of things this morning concerning politics and politicians and our government system and so forth. And let me say right up front, give this little disclaimer, I am not endorsing any political party. In fact, as you will hear me speak within the next few minutes, I am critical of all of them. It's not an endorsement of anybody. But you'll see politicians making claims against their opponents. Well, this person is against such and such an issue, and his voting record shows that he voted against it 5 times. Well, that sounds pretty far, and you can verify that he voted against a particular thing 5 times. What they don't tell you, though, is that in those 5 times, there were certain amendments that were added on to this particular piece of legislation, and he was voting against the amendments, not the issue itself. In fact, that person may be very pro whatever the issue was. But that doesn't make good advertisement. If you can come out and say this person is against you being prosperous, that's a good political ad. It goes far, and it doesn't really matter whether it's true or not. I'll give you a particular case. One of the Casey ads was that Rick Santorum ripped off the Pennsylvania public by taking funds for the education of his children. Well, there's a sliver of truth to that. He actually did enroll his children in, I believe it was a charter school or a cyber school, while he was a resident of Washington, D.C. And apparently, that's illegal to do. You must be in state to do that. Well, he didn't realize the situation from what I understood. And when it became apparent, he said, well, that's right. I've got to make amends here. And from what I understand, he paid back the money. But they didn't say that in the advertisement, that he paid back the money. Because we're not interested in truth. We're interested in advancing our own causes. Which brings us to justice. My mom made an interesting statement the other day. She said, we used to have statesmen. Today, we have politicians. Statesmen could differ in their issues or their understandings of what's best for the country, but they all had what's best for the country at heart. Today, our politicians have what's best for themselves and their political party at heart. We don't care what is just. We don't care what is right. A particular political ad that was rather revolting. The ad itself was revolting, and the response to the ad was equally revolting. It was down in Tennessee where the race for the senator down there, and they showed a person saying, a Ford, that he went to a party where there were Playboy bunnies. And she was imitating, hey, you know, here's a guy who's loose in his morals, give me a call. The ad was ridiculous. That was uncalled for. That was not necessary. Problem is, the response to it was equally as bad. People were saying, hey, this is just a personal issue. We don't care what the guy does personally. We want to know where he stands. In other words, personal issues don't matter anymore. We don't care if the man is a moral person. Seems to me, we had a president a couple of years ago who was immoral, and the country said, we don't care that he is unfaithful to his wife. That's between him and her, and it doesn't concern us. Shouldn't it? You mean to tell me that here is a man who has made a vow, a lifetime vow to another person whom he said that he loves with all his heart, and he couldn't keep it? But you expect him to take a vow for 4 or 8 years to defend the Constitution? I guess that vow doesn't matter either. Seems to me we're not interested in truth and justice. We're interested in propagating ourselves, our parties, our positions. What's going to come of this country? I'd like to speak this morning, and I've titled this message, What's Wrong in America? Now, I chose my words carefully, not what's wrong with America. America is the greatest nation on the face of this planet. There is no place that I would rather be than right here in the good U.S. of A., if I could say it. But we have problems, significant problems. And they are going to cause this country to be judged, possibly overtaken by another. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, now you're getting ridiculous. We are the strongest military power on the face of the world. That's true. So was Egypt when Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. So was Nebuchadnezzar and his descendants when Daniel said, I see a hand writing on the wall, and let me tell you what it's saying. You're going down. Fortunately, we can learn a lesson from history. The problem is, it has been often said, the only thing we have learned from history is that we haven't learned from history. I hope we will learn from history. 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, the prophet Isaiah spoke to the people of Israel. Israel was a nation founded upon the principles of truth and justice. And Israel strayed from those founding principles, and it brought upon itself the judgment of God. If you will, turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 59. I want us to consider verses 3 on down through verse 15. I want us to take a look at the history of this nation and learn a lesson from it. And very possibly, if we learn that lesson, we might avert the same type of judgment that the nation of Israel suffered. Last Sunday night, we looked at the first two verses about the Lord's hand not being shortened, that it cannot save, but because of the people's iniquities, they had separated themselves from God, and God was choosing not to listen to them until they repented. Beginning at verse 3, the Lord, through the prophet, enunciates all the sins of the nation. Read on down with me, if you will, to verse 8. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. My goodness, what a litany of evils, of corruption in the land. In fact, when I first sat down to look at this passage of Scripture and to put together this message, I started listing on a piece of paper all the specific things that are noted in these verses. Here's what my list looks like. That's pretty exhaustive. I mean, that's just not just, well, we have this little problem over here, we have this little problem over here. That's a list of 19 different things. Now, some of them are very close to another, but notice how I have them categorized. The words in black are things that are synonymous with the hands, things that people do, a nation does. They were defiled with blood. They were fingers defiled with iniquity. They were about working things that would separate them from God, that make them incapable of carrying out the plan of God nationally. That which is in red is the lips and the tongue. That which is spoken, their lips speak lies. Their tongue utters perverse things. Let me stop there for just a second. The language that is acceptable in our society today, if half of it was spoken when I was a child in school, we would have been back at the sink in the back of the room with the water going and the soap bottle emptying. But it's quite acceptable today. None calls for justice. There's nobody out there who's saying, look, this isn't right. This isn't the way things should be. None are pleading for truth. We look at those ads and the political ads and we say, oh my goodness, did this person actually vote against these things? And we soak them up and we accept them as truth and we don't even question those things. Words in blue speak of those things that are thought or believed. We trust in vanity. We speak lies. We conceive mischief. We bring forth, got to look at the bottom of my screen, that's my notes, iniquity. A picture of conception and birth. Works are works of iniquity. We think, well, what can we do and how can we bring about our ways? Violence is in our hands so that whatever we're thinking we can bring to pass. And then the words in green speak of the feet, places we go or the direction this country is heading. Our feet run to evil. Notice, we don't walk to evil. We run to evil. We look at what we want to accomplish and we say, how's the best way of getting there? We don't even question whether we should go there or not. We make haste to shed innocent blood. Well, a number of ballots in different states this past week were issues, I know for one in California, of whether the state should give parents notification of their daughter's intent to have an abortion. We shouldn't even be thinking about the abortion issue. To me, that is so cut and dry, so black and white, it is absolutely inherently wrong. And yet our society is saying, no, it should be a person's right whether they should murder an innocent one or not. And we've gotten so far past that we're now putting on ballots, questionnaires, whether we can do this in a speedy manner or not. Isn't that horrendous? Whether a parent should have notification about what their own child is doing? But we want to make it as quick as possible. Thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. We don't care what happens, just as long as I can go wherever I want to go. I don't care what havoc it creates. We don't know the way of peace. And isn't it interesting how psychotherapeutic drugs are the most common thing today? There are debates amongst pharmacists as to when was the proper age you can start giving your children antidepressants. Can 3-year-olds be taken anti... Can you imagine... Jim, can I ask you a question? Seriously. When you were 3 years old, did you ever suffer with depression?
I don't know.
Dolores, when you were 3 years old, did you suffer with depression? Like I said, we're not concerned about truth. 3 years old, I was the happiest fellow alive. There wasn't a care in the world that bothered me. What's happened? We don't know the way of peace. No judgment in our goings. Here is a nation that I think was an exact duplicate of the United States of America 2,700 years ago. What are we going to do? This is depressing. What has to be done? Notice verse 9. I'm going to read the first phrase here. Therefore is judgment far from us. If you're a careful observer of Scripture, you will notice a significant change in who is being or who is speaking here. Notice, let's back up a little bit. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled. Verse 4, none calleth for justice. Verse 5, they hatch cockatrice eggs. Verse 6, their webs. Verse 7, their feet. Verse 8, the way of peace they know not. It's spoken from a third person, or God speaking to the nation, to the people of the nation about what they're doing. But verse 9 says this, therefore is judgment far from us. It's now the nation responding to the condemnation, the critical statements of Jehovah God. And they're saying, you know right, what God? You're absolutely right. Judgment is far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Talks about the direction that they're going. We're seeking to find our way. We're stumbling around. We can't find what is right. And do you know what's really, really interesting with these political ads? What was the theme of the Democratic Party this year? All the analysts have said that it was a referendum on the leading of our president in the war in Iraq. That's what they were voting on. That's why the Democratic Party, practically as a whole, when running against a Republican incumbent, was saying, this man's tie or this woman's tie to the president, therefore, the president isn't doing a good job. You got to get rid of them. And we want to go in a new direction. Do you ever hear that one? More than 15,000 times. We have to take our country in a new direction. Did they tell you what direction they wanted to go? I find that interesting. We don't know where we're going. But we don't like where we're going. So we'll stumble, we'll grope around as if it was, even in the middle of the day, as if it was night. We have no light. We have no direction. I had to laugh, particularly at one campaign advertisement. It was from Governor Rendell's camp. And he said, send Rendell back to clean up the mess in Harrisburg. Sounds like a good thing. Clean up the mess in Harrisburg. And I said to my wife, I said, If a person will stop and think about that for a moment, what is he saying? The mess in Harrisburg are the leaders in Harrisburg. Wait a minute. He's number one. He is saying, get rid of me. Now, of course, he didn't want people to think that, but in essence, that's what he was saying. We have no direction. We'll listen to anything. Verse 11, we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. We complain like bears roaring. We get angry at the way things are. And then we mourn, oh, woe is me. And we can't find an answer to things. There is no one who can save us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, as for our iniquities, we know them. We don't like to admit it. We don't want to change our policies. But we know something's not right. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. He that departs from evil gets attacked by everybody as being self-righteous, above everybody else, not caring, intolerant, and just wanting to leave this nation in a place where God can bless. And it distressed him, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And consequently, the Babylonian captivity came upon this nation, for it was too late. I don't know where we stand in time. I mean, I know it's 2006. If the Lord should give us time in two more years, we'll have another presidential election and another election for senators and representatives and governors and all kinds of political offices. Not sure how long this country has. But why was it that Israel lost its ability to see where it was going and come up with the answers? Because Israel's people stopped accepting and demanding truth. None calls for justice. None pleads for truth. Seven 700 years after Isaiah would pen these words, a man by the name of Jesus Christ would come into this world and he would utter these words, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The reason the nation of Israel politically went into a time of judgment was because the nation spiritually lost its way, gave up on its truth, and lost its life. What is going to keep this country from going the same direction? When its people will demand God's truth and demand God's way and demand God's justice in its leaders. And if we don't, we're heading for disaster. wait a minute. Why should our political leaders exemplify those moral characteristics when the people in the churches don't exhibit them themselves? You see, I'm afraid too many that call themselves Christians say, you know what, man can live by bread alone. We don't need the Word of God in our lives. We don't need truth. We don't need to be servants of the Most High. We don't need to be sacrifices, living sacrifices. Besides, why would we want to sacrifice? Isn't life all about me? No. Life is all about Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We don't need a Superman today. We need a Savior. And we need that Savior living vibrantly in us to affect the world around us, where we're heading the same direction as Israel 700 B.C. did. Let's pray. Father, this is a nation that You have blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. You have been so good to us. You've given us a place to live in freedom, prosperity, even when we complain about how tough we have it. Maybe, Lord, we have to realize that we don't have it so tough after all. Maybe we need to realize that life isn't about the things of this world, but the things of the world to come. Truth, justice, eternal life. Father, I love this country so much. I am so thankful that You allowed me to be here in this time in history. Lord, help me to make my voice the voice of truth and reason and justice, as well as all who are sitting in the pews here today. Because we know that if we don't, we're heading for disaster. But not just that we might be voices to save this country, but even more importantly, voices to promote the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For one day we recognize You will return, and You will dwell again on this earth, ruling from the throne of David in righteousness, truth, justice. Lord, we want to make people ready for Your coming by sharing the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's one in this congregation this morning who has never trusted Jesus to be their Savior, that they're depending upon their own good works, something they've done or something that a church may have done to them, such as baptism or church membership or whatever the case may be, that they might recognize that all those good things, as good as they are, aren't sufficient enough to pay for sin. But that on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ died. For the Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. And that they might, simply by faith, receive Him as their Savior today, trusting in what He did for them to give them eternal life by believing on His name. And then might be a defender of truth and justice and God's way. We pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.